Welcome to the BRCA Gene Mutation and Cancer Awareness Podcast. I am Christina Henry of MidlifeStylist.com. I am a registered nurse with a BRCA2 gene mutation. My podcast will raise awareness of BRCA1 and 2 gene mutations and their link to an increased cancer risk. BRCA gene mutations affect males and females equally, but there isn't a lot of awareness in the community of the cancers that male carriers are at risk of. My podcast aims to change that. I will also discuss other topics of interest such as genetic counselling and testing, cancer screening and prophylactic surgery. If you would like to know more about BRCA1 and 2 gene mutations, this podcast is for you. Thanks for joining me. Many people do not realise that a BRCA2 gene mutation increases your risk of melanoma. This episode is to raise awareness of melanoma, not just for BRCA2 mutation carriers, but for the general public as well. Australia has one of the highest rates of melanoma in the world, with one person diagnosed every 30 minutes. Melanoma is the deadliest form of skin cancer and the most common cause of cancer in 15 to 39 year olds. It is the third most common cancer in Australian men and women. In the US, the lifetime risk of getting melanoma is about 2.6% or 1 in 38 for whites, 0.1% or 1 in 1,000 for blacks, and 0.6% or 1 in 167 for Hispanics. For BRCA2 carriers, the risk is 3 to 5% in both males and females. Familial malignant melanoma is a genetic condition, usually identified when two or more first degree relatives, such as a parent, sibling, and/or child, have a melanoma. About 8% of people diagnosed with a melanoma have a first degree relative with one. About 1 to 2% have two or more close relatives with a melanoma. My family is at high risk because my sister, brother, and son have all had melanomas. Two genes have been linked to familial melanoma, CDKN2A and CDK4. A mutation in either of those genes increases your risk of melanoma and may also increase your risk of pancreatic cancer. Another gene, MC1R, is important for regulating pigment in the body. Variations in this gene have been associated with freckling and red hair and an increase in the risk for melanoma. Xeroderma pigmentosum, or XP, is a rare disorder in which people have a mutation in a gene needed for the repair of UV radiation-induced DNA damage. People with XP have an extremely high rate of skin cancer, including melanoma. Scientists believe that there are other genes not yet identified that also increase the risk for melanoma. Genetic testing for mutations in the CDKN2A gene is available. However, genetic test results are unlikely to change care for people who have a melanoma or people with a strong family history of melanoma. That is why the genetic counsellor told me that there is a high probability of a genetic link for melanoma in my family, but there was little point in doing further testing to find it. It wouldn't alter the fact that my family needs ongoing screening. My special guest today is my son, Jordan Hill, who was diagnosed with a melanoma at age 24. Welcome to the podcast, Jordan.
Thanks for having me.
Can you tell us how you came to be diagnosed with a stage 1 melanoma at the age of 24?
Well, for several years, you got me to go and get screen tests as a family. And what was it, like two or three doctors before we finally landed on this one at Mermaid Beach practice? And they didn't see anything wrong with this particular dot on my hand I had, because it started as a freckle, but over time it started growing black and started looking really nasty. And I had random people come up to me in like shops, because I work at Office Works, and I had them, like customers, randomly pointing out, oh, that doesn't look very good, when I point out an item or something. They noticed it on my hand and they comment about it, and I just never thought anything of it. And so for about, I want to say a good 2-3 years, it was like that. It was slowly getting worse and it just looked way more black and violent. And so you started like getting more checks, like, because we were still figuring out what it was. So we had two skin doctors check, and neither of them found anything wrong with it. They just said it was nothing. There was no concern. But the third skin doctor took one look at it, and he zoomed up on it with like this little device, and it looked really, I want to say, gnarly. And and so he took a biopsy out of it. And within a few days, I got a phone call, and he said, yeah, it was a stage 1 melanoma.
Yeah. So what were the signs that this was just not just an ordinary mole? What did it look like compared to other moles?
Well, I mean, all freckles are just pretty faded and just, you know, brown looking and everything. But this one started off as just a regular freckle, but then over time it just went black, and it was just like the small black dot, and it just kept growing and growing.
And it was jagged on the edge too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I'll put a photo up on my website, midlifestylist.com, of how that melanoma looked. So what did the doctor actually do?
Well, he gave me a little local anesthetic on the hand.
Yeah.
And he, you know, cut a little incision out of it. And it was only, it wasn't so deep, it was only a little deep. But then when I noticed when he cut it out, there was still like a tiny bit of a black dot there. And when it was healing over the next week, it was like, you know, it wasn't healing very well. It was kind of struggling. It was very pussy and had to go back and get it cleaned and everything. But when it came back as a stage 1 melanoma, I noticed that there was still a little bit of black there. And so we actually needed a plastic surgeon to fully remove it and dig deeper into the tissue to make sure it was all gone.
So Jordan actually rang me. I was on holiday in New Zealand, and because luckily I'm a nurse and I work with plastic surgeons, I rang and made an appointment for Jordan to see a plastic surgeon that I knew. He got him in the following week, and within a week, Jordan had plastic surgery to remove this. They had to take a full thickness to remove the whole melanoma. It's about the size of a 50-cent piece, and they had to take a graft from beneath his arm to cover that deficit. So that can't be just any doctor, it had to be a plastic surgeon. And once they did that, the margins were clear. So what kind of recovery did you need after that?
So it was a complete month off of not doing much with your hand. Basically, they had it like in a cast and bandaged up and everything, and I couldn't really move it. I couldn't do the things I do, like work and play drums and guitar and all that. But it gave me a lot of time off to sort of think about, you know, how lucky I was that, I mean, you know, I survived cancer basically. And even though it didn't look too threatening at the time, when I found out what it really was and what it entailed, and what it meant if it kept growing, because they said thankfully it was a very slow growing melanoma. If I'd left it for another year or two, I probably would have gotten to stage 3 or 4, which is the deadly one where it actually spreads through the body, and I could have been dead basically. Yeah. By now. So in that recovery time, it actually gave me a bit of a, you know, second look on life, and I feel like much more grateful to be here because of that. And
it changes you, hey?
It does. And because of that, I now get my skin checked every 6 months, and it doesn't hesitate me at all. It doesn't bother me. I just go do it. And even though the skin doctor that I regularly go see says, oh, you don't have to come back for another year or so, I just go, no, I still like to come every 6 months because I just like to be on top of it no matter what. It doesn't faze me. And it just makes me much more, you know, happier to know that I'm free of any cancers on my skin.
I took my kids to see the skin doctor from the time that they were really young, and I know that's not a typical thing for people to do with children, but I just, because I work in that field of plastic surgery, I'm quite paranoid about melanoma and skin cancer. But also, Jordan has very fair skin and red hair, and that alone makes him at risk, plus the fact that his auntie and uncle both had melanomas.
I mean, the thing was, is that I think it was like 10 or 12 or something, and I was like, I had cousins over for the day or something. We were in the pool all day in the sun, and I had no sunscreen on, no shirt. And I remember how brutally bad I got like sunburnt over my back that night, and you were just there putting all this cream and stuff on, and it
I
was
put
just,
burn cream
yeah,
on.
and it was the most
But it was
painful thing.
blistered. It was, he should have, I probably should have taken him to the emergency department at the hospital
And
because he had second degree burns all over
basically, and
him.
I will never forget how brutally painful that was.
I always kept the Silver Sardine cream, which is a burn cream. I always kept that on hand. At the moment, we use Solugel for any
Miracle cream, yeah.
little sunburn or
Yeah.
anything. And it takes the redness away straight away. But what precautions do you take now to protect your skin?
Well, I mean, just going back to when I was sunburned those many years ago, I from that point on always made sure I had some sort of sunscreen on, or like had, you know, jumpers on or hats or anything, just to make sure I'm as sun protective as possible. If I was out in the open, I'd try and find any shade possible and just try and, you know, make sure I was always undercover and not so much out in the sun. But I think it's also too that the Australian sun is just much more stronger. I went to Europe a
Harsh,
few
yeah.
yeah I went to Europe a few years ago, and I barely got burned, and I was out in the sun almost every day. Still put sunscreen on and everything, and you can still get burnt. But I find that in Australia, it's just the sun's way more stronger, and yeah, just you can burn so easy. I could just go and walk out to the beach, and within 10 minutes, I'd be burning, and you could see them like burning in, you know, right in front of you. But also, we also just figured out too that you know, because I haven't been very sunburned over the years, but we figured out that the melanoma developed on the back of my hand from driving.
Yeah.
It like you know, with the sun beaming in through the window, you wouldn't really think much of it. But yeah, it would make sense. That would be the only possible reason why I got the melanoma on the back of my hand. So yeah.
So, what advice would you give to other people?
Definitely get your skin checked every couple of years at least. If you've got fair skin like me, or especially a redhead, at least once a year or two. Just make sure you check your skin often. If you notice weird bumps or weird, you know, changes to your freckles or anything, just go and get them looked at. It's not worth just pondering around and just, you know, because I didn't think anything of the one I had, and you know, I just get straight onto it. I wouldn't beat around the bush.
And you've got to go to a actual skin
Yes,
doctor
yes.
because they're trained to look
Yeah. They
properly
grab out all
with
these magnifying glasses and all these special equipments and everything to like look deep into any freckle or any mole, and they can see all these different colors and all this stuff, and they can tell whether it's, you know, cancer or not straight away. Or
They do mole mapping,
yeah.
and he writes it all into his computer. Any moles that he's had a look at. The one that we found that actually identified Jordan's melanoma, we just stick with him. We go to the same doctor every 6 months, and he knows us. He knows our skin. He remembers lesions. I point out everything, but I also check my skin regularly, like more than once a week. I'd say it was virtually every day. I'm always having a good look on my skin.
It doesn't take that much effort to do it,
Yeah, but
and
there's areas that you can't see
that's it.
yourself,
That's it,
like
and
your
that's
back and your
which is
scalp,
exactly why you're going to get your skin checked. But it doesn't matter about age as well, because you know, being 24, I didn't think it would be a melanoma. Like, you know, as a kid growing up, you go to doctors and you see all the skin charts and all the, you know, little markings and stuff, and you think it's just what, you know, older people get, or you know, people in their 40s or 50s or older. And well, that is true. I mean, look, 24, you know,
Yeah,
I never saw it
so
coming.
young. Yeah, so that's our message is to get your skin checked. It doesn't take long, as Jordan said. It's like a 10-minute visit to your doctor regularly, and especially if they've found any type of skin cancer in your family, that's important to go get checked. Thank you, Jordan. That was really great.
No worries.
Screening. Anyone with a parent, sibling, or child who has had a melanoma should be carefully monitored for melanoma themselves. Skin examinations should be performed every 3 to 6 months by a specialist skin doctor to monitor any pigmented lesions. It is important to watch moles closely for any signs of change in shape, size, or colour. Dermatologists may photograph moles, known as mole mapping, or view moles with a handheld device called a dermatoscope. This will assist the doctor to identify changes over time. Children should begin screening by age 10. Regular self-examination should be done monthly to look for skin changes. What to look for? Moles are usually round or oval, or an even coloured black, brown, or tan spot on the skin. They usually stay the same for many years. Almost all moles are harmless, but any changes may indicate a melanoma is developing. Look for any changes in shape, size, or colour, or new moles on your skin. Watch for the following. A, for asymmetry. One half of the mole does not match the other. B, for blurred. The edges are irregular, ragged, notched, or blurred. C, the colour is not the same all over and may include different shades of black or brown and sometimes have patches of pink, red, white, or blue. D, diameter. The spot is larger than 6 millimetres or 4 inches across, although some melanomas are smaller than this. E, evolving. The spot is changing in size, shape, or colour. Other warning signs are a spot that doesn't heal, spread of pigment from the border into the surrounding skin, redness or a new swelling beyond the border of the mole, change in sensation such as an itch, tenderness, or pain, or change in the surface of the mole, scaliness, oozing, bleeding, or a lump. Show your doctor any changes such as these. A yearly or 6 monthly, if you are high risk, specialist skin check should be done because they will thoroughly check all the areas you are unable to see yourself, such as your scalp and back. Melanomas can appear in unusual places, such as inside your mouth or on the coloured part of your eye, so it is important to show your doctor anything that you are concerned about. Avoid skin exposure to ultraviolet rays. People who are high risk should avoid sun exposure and take steps to protect themselves when outdoors. Man-made UV rays such as tanning beds should be avoided. They are banned in Australia but may still be available overseas. Avoid manicures and pedicures that use UV rays to set the nail art. They have been known to cause melanomas in the nail bed. The curing lamps used to dry shellac and gel during manicures expose nails to UV rays. The UV rays you receive during a manicure are brief but intense, 4 times stronger than the sun's UV rays. Only 1.4% of melanomas occur on finger or toenails, so watch for any darkening of the skin around the nail, infections or nails lifting, sensitivity or nodules under the nail. Remember to use sunscreen with a high SP factor, preferably 50+. Cover all exposed skin while in the sun and remember you can still get burnt in the winter. Wear a hat and avoid the sun during the hottest part of the day. Protecting your skin from the sun helps you to avoid UV damage, which may cause wrinkling and age spots and expose you to developing melanoma and other skin cancers. Thank you again to Jordan Hill for telling his story of how he was diagnosed with a melanoma at the age of 24. Photos and more information will be on the website. My next episode will focus on pancreatic cancer. Many people, even those with BRCA1 or 2 gene mutations, are unaware of the increased risk of pancreatic and other cancers. Because my dad passed away from pancreatic cancer, it is a subject dear to me. Thank you for listening. Do you want to learn more about BRCA gene mutations and cancer awareness? Find me at midlifestylist.com, where you can read about this and living a healthy lifestyle. Please subscribe to the podcast so that you don't miss an episode. If there is a topic you would like me to talk about, you can contact me via midlifestylist.com. Thank you for listening.